Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, generous to comment on six capitals. There is a surprise capital for number six this week, but we begin in Moscow. The news of the week was peculiar for an autocracy. The warlord Prigozhin, head of Wagner Group, speaking out against the warlord Shoigu, the defense minister, the warlord Gerasimov, the chief of staff, and on the sidelines, the warlord Kadyrov, a Chechen, saying that he will lead Chechens to fill the gap in the line in Donbass made by Prigozhin deciding to withdraw the Wagner Group after its claimed success in Bakhmut. Vladimir Putin watching these turmoil remarks, because that's what Prigozhin is doing. He's accusing Gerasimov and Shoigu of sabotaging him, of not providing adequate material, of letting down Russia, even betraying Russia with the inadequate mobilization. Kadyrov not entering into the fair is only saying, we're ready to fight for Russia. He's a Chechen. Of this is a confusing melange of temperaments, but recall, this is an autocracy. Nothing is what it seems. Professor, a very good evening to you. The point of view of Moscow with these warlords now stamping their feet. Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. And before we turn to this imponderable question, I'd like to ask everybody, this is going to be a little bit different today, because there's not a whole lot of what they call kinetic warfare going on, except for Russian missiles that are not properly aimed, crashing into Ukraine and Ukrainians shelling things. But I don't think that this is the day of decision in the Great Offensive. So I would like everybody, please, to put on your Mackinder geopolitical hat and think that you're a geopolitical thinker. And then imagine that on the table in front of you is somehow the whole of Eurasia, from Brest in France to Kamchatka on the far east end of Russia. And then take in how things are arranged. And then cast your mind back, if you can, to, say, 1989, 1990, 91, when the previous Eurasian arrangement of the Soviet Union broke down, at least in the West. And I think the point that I'm going to have in the back of my mind this evening, and I hope you'll have it too, is that a whole system, a whole order, is gradually disintegrating, and all kinds of passions are being released, national passions, personal ambition, you name it, desire for survival. And like it or not, I think we Americans are going to have to be involved in dealing with the way this cake ends up being cut when the war ends. And I don't think that we're going to go back to anything resembling what it was when we began. So Moscow, I think there's a lot of talk about geopolitical rebalancing and all the rest, but Russia is in a very, very bad way. You mentioned the warlords. Of course, Putin is a warlord, though we're not exactly sure who his supporters are. Prigozhin is a very, very loud-mouthed, impulsive, mad, and very rich mercenary. Shoigu is a Tuvan. He's a Mongol of very high intelligence who speaks a whole variety of languages and is, in theory, the top man in the Russian security pyramid. Gerasimov is the Russian military commander, and Kadyrov is a Chechen, and the Chechens are absolutely vicious and ruthless fighters. Now, the interesting thing is that these are the people who are in charge of Russia's campaign in Ukraine, and they all disagree with each other, and they all dislike each other, and they're all positioning themselves in ways that we don't understand for whatever the post-war situation is. And we have to bear this in mind, because at some point, I think Mr. Putin is going to disappear, and then somehow these people I've mentioned and others who are lurking there that we've never even heard of are going to get involved in some kind of a struggle to keep Russia together and keep as much as possible for themselves. Now, to understand this, we have to realize that Russia has been changed tremendously by this war. The traditional Russian economy, although it's hard to imagine, I mean, we go way back, there was a time when we thought the Russians were very advanced technologically. It turns out not to be true, but they've got some very, very smart people. But they had tried, until this war began, to diversify their exports and not depend on fossil fuels and not depend on investments and what's happened, or trade. And what's happened now is that we have so encumbered them with embargoes and so forth that they are that their economy doesn't really work anymore, and people are getting getting much poorer than they were. But ironically, the fact that we have cut Russia off has made them more self-sufficient. So if there's a global monetary crisis, they're probably not going to get caught in it in the way that, say, Switzerland would be. But we have to remember about the two countries that are really the king and queen or whatever of Eurasia, namely Russia and China. Remember that Russia was a great technological power long ago when they launched Sputnik, but they can't make computer chips. Now, this is amazing. And they buy them from China, but China can't make computer chips either. And this despite almost 40 years of having the American shop of great technology wide open for anybody who wanted to come and stuff their pockets with secrets. And they can't make tanks either, because their industrial capacity is greatly undermined by all kinds of problems, not least decades of corruption. And China can't make any of these things either. And China, furthermore, is facing a problem that Russia does not face, which is hunger. So at the end of the day, or at the end of this chat, one of the questions I want to leave everybody with is, will Russia survive as a polity? Will the People's Republic of China survive as a polity? Is it conceivable that this war could actually open up divisions in the Eurasian continent that would not be closed? And if they were not, what would Eurasia look like then?
Professor, a detail about projecting into the future. Russia has had history of failed leadership. And the two examples are 1917 and 1945. In 45, the leader was able to recover his authority by making certain that a powerful general, Zhukov, did not last before the people as the hero of the war. In 1917, it was not possible. The Tsar stepped aside, and a man named Kerensky came forward as the warlord leading. And there
briefly.
There was no one to stop him until the whole country fell apart and Kerensky skedaddled after the German advance. So warlords have merit and weight in Russia. That's why I emphasize those warlords speaking out, Kadyrov coming forward. Putin masters warlords, but he's not one himself. He's state security. He's Beria.
That's right.
Yagoda. Yes. He's a recognizable figure. Czechist is what they called him back in the revolution days.
Czechist.
Yeah. That is not a warlord in Russian understanding.
It's something very, very different. If you go to the memorial by the Kremlin, it's been moved from one side to the other for the dead, so the dead are not memorialized where Lenin is in his tomb. There is a equestrian statue of General Zhukov. So he is clearly remembered. But I think your point is very important. If you study Russian history, there are lots of periods when it gets very, very ragged and it looks as if it's all going to fall apart. And then somehow it gets pulled together. And for 1945 and for World War II in general, it's worth pointing out that Stalin, who had essentially he had helped to create a problem. Of course, the European powers helped him a great deal, but he really survived World War II only because we gave him the equivalent of $130 billion today in lend-lease. So, as I constantly say, Russia is never as big or as small as she appears to be.
Do you measure that these warlords are going to continue to be dominating the story as Russia fends off the troubles in Ukraine?
Well, I think that I'm very skeptical that the Russians are going to be able to unleash a kind of Operation Barbarossa into Ukraine. There are already reports of Russian troops just saying the hell with it and going home, and I think that makes good sense. And this is a good thing from our point of view because it means that instead of deciding to H-bomb Ukraine and get revenge, the Russian anger will be directed at the leadership. And having a divided leadership like this means that there are lots of buffers for them to fight with. And the fact that we have these independent military units, it's now day three or day four that they've been going around Belgorod. They've been to Smolensk. They've been to Bryansk. I mean, they've been all over the place in important logistical hubs for the Russians. And they don't seem to have been caught. I mean, we get reports that they've been killed or they've been wiped out. But there's absolutely no evidence for this. And we've seen this before in Russia, internal unrest. And when we get to China, if we have a chance, I'll mention how much internal unrest there is in China. But it's absolutely standard in Russian history for there to be a period of disorder, even in a transition of power that is ultimately successful. In the transition that began in 1917, when the Germans brought the Bolsheviks in, it wasn't until 1923 that this complete bloodbath of the Russian Civil War sort of ended. Of course, it continued. Stalin continued killing people and killing people. But, you had the homesick million in Paris. And this is just the way it seems that the Russian state is configured. I don't think it's something in Russian nature. But, of course, their culture has evolved in sort of relationship to the demands of having a huge country with a very low population density, with low fertility of the land, and with lots of sort of deserts and mountains and strange foreign people around them.
Let's go to Kyiv, because much of what you're saying depends upon its relation. Russia's relationship with Ukraine, which it regards as a province and not a separate country.
Yes.
That would be an example of how Russia is unusual, with Ukraine being the fundamental founding of Rus, but now quite separate from Moscow. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This heat is doing the most, and your patience isn't. It's time to find something that actually cools you off. Cool off with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.